Log Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We're very pleased to be with you again this evening, April 21st, 2015.
And we want to just take this opportunity to thank you for being with us, for holding the space within yourself to listen to that which is speaking in you and guiding you to your purpose, to your gift that really does resonate with your own frequency right where you are. It's about really being in your own presence because that's where all the information that is available from multidimensional realms exists, is right inside of you. But we just want to welcome our listeners to the room that in our chat room that exists, and you can find that right on our site, which is All True Natural 2 on Blog Talk Radio. And we bring forth individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives. And what that means is that the spirit that is within each and every one of us calls forth its own vibrational energy to attract its own expansive love. And so we've been very fortunate to meet individuals throughout the globe that are walking in purpose, bringing forth the harmony and the essence of peace, informational-wise, educationally, through movement, through the various arts, through various science, and we're really bridging the gap of information to bring it forth to you, the listener. So we're very grateful that you're with us this evening. No matter where you are on planet Earth, we want to let you know that there is a community that is operating, is in existence, is walking hand in hand, side by side with you, creating the world in which all human beings, all spiritual beings, can really truly live in harmony and peace. So with that remains our intention, and that is why we are here today. So usually our format is that I do an introduction, and my husband, he interviews our guest. And this is going to be a practice for me tonight, guys, because you all know how much I can talk. But tonight he is suffering from some allergic response that's happening in the atmosphere. And, you know, he's really recovering, so he's restoring himself. And so this evening, I'm with you to bridge the gap and to bring forth one of our incredible devoted souls to bringing higher consciousness to the earth. And his name is
Augie Nost. Augie is a spiritual author, a visionary. He exposes the truth through various forms of media, including producing TV and radio shows. He has a background in the military in Norway. Augie also is a UFO investigator. So let's go ahead and welcome our guest, Augie Nost. Good evening, Augie. How are you tonight?
Well, thank you for the kind words. I feel flattered, and I feel almost big-headed from listening to all that. I enjoyed the journey. Started back in Europe and ended up here in the United States. I guess I used the wrong word. It hasn't ended yet, and it's going to continue for a long time. And later on in this interview, I'm going to explain to you why that will end up being such a long time still. And there is a lot to talk about. So Could I maybe talk a little bit about the mind first? Because it seems like everybody at least think we have one, but we don't know what it is. Would that be all right?
I just love that topic. Please, please proceed. That would be wonderful.
Okay, all right. Okay. I got to touch on the mind a little bit because some of the things I will be telling you tonight is going to be a little hard to swallow. Unless, of course, you have studied some quantum physics and spiritual science, because then it will make perfect sense to you, because it's backed by science. And we all heard about miracles and so on, and there are several words for it. And, if you're into religion, that is one of the things that is right up front. But there's a science even to miracles. And we can explain it through quantum physics and spiritual science. And, we have three different forms of science. We have physical science, we have mental science, and we have spiritual science. Physical science, yep, we think we have this one figured out. Christ, we have a used car on the moon. In 1969, they left one behind. When they left, they couldn't take it back. And we have a watch that winds itself and a car that do 240 miles an hour. We think we have this one figured out. And then we have mental science. That involves some stranger things like photographic memory, psychic abilities, and eidetic memory, and things like that. But when it comes to spiritual science, mankind as a whole have not a clue. We don't know. Because there's very few, if any, to learn from. And many of us has figured out that this universe that we're looking at is not necessarily the way it looks. Let me give you something to think about. I first have to set the stage for you so you can easily understand the question better.
Yes, please.
And science has found that matter and energy cannot be created from nothing. That's an established fact. We know that. Then again,
okay,
we have some of the sharpest people on the planet, like Stephen Hawking out of Cambridge University in England, and most theoretical physicists. They're saying that their equations of quantum physics on the blackboard prove this whole universe was created from nothing. Now, if this whole universe is created from nothing, and everything in it, including you, was created from nothing, what are you?
Very good question. Help
Did
us
you notice
understand.
I paused on purpose because I want you to think. What are we? How do you feel now when I just told you that you just might be nothing? Of course, we mean nothing physical. There is something. It's got to be something because we see things. We experience things. When you stub your toe on a rock, it hurts. And you're peeling potatoes and you cut yourself, yeah, it hurts. And you go to a movie and you laugh your head off from something funny. We are all experiencing things. But what is it? Now, that's the big question. Because obviously there is something. Now, quantum mechanics tells us we live in a mind-created universe. And there's only one thing that can do that. And that is thought. And, of course, that raises another question. What is the mind? Where is it? Is it maybe in the brain? Well, there's some theories on that probably, but let me compare you to something. The brain is the hardware, kind of like on a computer. Then again, the mind is the software that is loaded on to the hardware, the brain, so that the brain can do what it does. A very small portion of the mind is operating through the brain. But the mind is not in the brain. It is everywhere around you. It is a part of and the same as that universal consciousness, the self-aware universal consciousness, which some people call God. There's many different names on it. And the thing about it is that we have never been taught how to use this mind. It's a phenomenal tool, but why weren't we told how to use it? Do you remember back in school, the teacher told you, read this chapter and memorize it, because tomorrow we're going to have a test on it. Oh, I hated that. Because I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to remember all of it. And again, the teacher, he didn't know either, so he could not tell us how to remember. Well, the thing is that we have a perfect memory. We remember everything we have ever experienced with our five senses. It's all recorded in the brain and the mind. It's the recall process that has been screwed up and just never told to us. We don't know how to bring memory out of the brain and the mind. So we just kind of hit and miss at it. Let's take it one step further. If we are in a mind-created universe, so then what is in your mind the most? And what we believe, consciously and subconsciously, that is what we will have in our life, because that is our reality. That creates reality. Mind creates reality. Because we are a something that can be compared to a hologram. I have an analogy here. If we took Mr. Average American, that could be an accountant, a physician, a construction worker, or absolutely anybody, and put them in the left seat in the cockpit of a Boeing 747, we crawl in the right seat, look at him and say, hey, let's go flying. He wouldn't have a clue. He would spend the next 20 minutes before he found the electrical master switch. Now, if we gave him a year's worth of training, he could take us flying. Why don't we do the same thing with the mind? That is what I do with this book that I'm going to talk about a little bit here. I show people how to operate the mind, how to teach you some of those tricks that get you tapped into that universal consciousness so you get a two-way flow of information coming back and forth. So you can use it, and it's brought up all the way to conscious understanding where we can get some good out of it.
Well, that sounds very exciting.
Yeah. See, when we're not taught how to use something, what usually happens? We screw it up, don't we? It just don't work right. The universal consciousness is everywhere. In fact, it is us. So that's why that we really should start looking in that direction and learn how to operate that mind. The brain is a lot simpler because we have schematics, you know, we have brain surgeons that can tell you which part of the brain does the certain things, and, you know, most of the long-term memory is stored in the frontal lobe and so on. We know that. But the mind, they really don't have any clue on, because science have a hard time stepping out of that box they boxed themselves in, unless you start reading quantum mechanics. Then it opens up, and you can understand it. See, there's another thing that we have a hard time wrapping our head around. Since we live in a mind-created universe, and everything outside of you is only a mind-created projection, like a hologram, there is nothing physical outside of you. It just appears that way. It is somewhat similar to a dream. And this, now the equations of quantum physics prove this. And when you have this hologram outside of you, and including you. A hologram, can that have sensations of feeling and things like that? Like, remember I mentioned about when you stub your toe?
Yes.
Can that, yeah. How does that fit into a hologram? Well, there are different gradients of technology in holography too. Let's say the holograms, the first one was created back in the early 70s, I think, or maybe late 60s. And let's say it'd be 50 years, we have now developed holograms here on Earth that they can actually think on their own, they can because they're hooked up to a computer. And you can have some very elaborate holograms that looks totally real. That's only in 50 years. This hologram I'm talking about has 14 billion years to develop itself. Do you not think that it would be a little more advanced than the one that we create?
So true.
So, you know, there is no such thing as magic. There is only science of the future. And if we go back into the darkest part of Africa or South America and we find a tribe in there and we show them a, let's say, an iPad, it will blow them away. It would be magic to them. So that's why when we have other civilizations coming here, showing us their technology, people in religion, they say, oh, these are demons because we're not supposed to know what they are. Well, maybe there's a little more to it. There's a science behind everything. And if this hologram is the way that both spiritual science and quantum physics show, that means that this physical thing we are walking around in, our body, has no mind of its own. It needs, it needs the mind, the universal mind, to fuel it. Kind of like a computer, you got to turn the electrical switch to turn it on. It needs something. It does not run itself. It needs an energy in order to flow. That make any sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, maybe you can talk a little bit more about the energy that you're talking about when you say the mind. What exactly does that mean to you?
The mind?
Yes. Would that say, in your reference, are you saying that the mind is the all, or the mind is the holographic representation?
It is the all. That is what people have different interpretations and understandings of the mind. A lot of people think, well, the mind is in the brain. Yeah, it is, but not only there. It is a universal energy that vibrates at the frequency of love.
Yes.
That is why you hear every so often people say, God is love. People don't normally understand what that really means, but that is exactly what it is. It is love, because that's all there is. And that energy, love is actually a particle that operates as a wave, somewhat similar as a photon light. It's a particle, but it functions and operates as a wave. So quantum physics can actually define it. They have formulas now that will describe the energy of intention and the energy of love. But they haven't put a lot of those out because it's going to upset the Christian establishment and many of the other religions, because they don't like to hear that their science can be explained. So a lot of the theoretical physicists, when they sit and stare at equations asking for answers, they tap into this universal, the self-aware universal mind, and they get answers. And they can be just flashes in their mind that just show up like, oh, this part goes with that part. I got to turn this around. And they have no idea where that answer came from. It just showed up in their head, and it makes perfect sense. That's how you discover.
I really like your perspective, Aggie, on the universal mind. And I also like the perspective that it's operating with or without our awareness. And and that we can be in the presence and the experience of this expression, or we can also be in another experience and not really feel connected to it, regardless of being connected to it. It's almost like, yes, we can see the computer and we can see the programs, but all the, you know, the inner workings that goes on behind that is what you're, what to me, that's what you're expressing to us today. Is that, can you continue with that?
Yes. Yeah, it's the energy that's behind it, fuels it. If you're looking at the computer and you shut the switch off, it's dead. Nothing there. If you are if you get disconnected, actually that's the wrong way to put it. You can never be disconnected from the universal consciousness because it is you, it creates you. But you can block it so that the energy does not transfer all the way up to conscious understanding where you can implement it into your life. And then you will not have the understanding of it. And when you block it, then you are opening it up for the brain to take over. And the ego in the brain steps in and says, hey, I'll take care of that one. Don't worry about me. I'll take care. I got it from here. And they start going down that road, then you're operating on brain power only, where you have blocked the universal consciousness from giving you advice and counsel and resources.
And yeah, and that idea of the holographic, you know, that we're all the holographic expression or image mm-hmm. of this presence that you're speaking of that is expanding love, that is a really unique perspective, and we've been in that understanding as well. And so, you know, to us, and, you know, for you, maybe you can talk about some personal experiences that you've had that can relate to being, you know, in the personality, within the body, as a, you know, photograph of the expression of divine love. I mean, how much more real can you get than that? I'd love to hear your experiences with that.
Okay, you asked, so here we go. About a little over 2 years ago now, I had a frog in my throat. That's what I get for drinking milk. Anyway, a little over 2 years ago now, I had a very incredible experience. I was sitting in meditation, which I try to do twice a day. And I've done it for probably about 50 years. And when I go into meditation, I often, before I start the meditation, I formulate something that I want to have the mind work on while I meditate. And afterwards, I revisit that again so that I can make some type of a resolve of what I got, if I got anything. And I was in the meditation, and that thoughts go away. There is nothing there except emptiness. My mind is open for whatever comes. And I suddenly had this, it wasn't really like a flash of light, but it was something that's somewhat similar. And the universe, this is going to be a tough one to swallow, remember I said that? The whole universe was it was explained in concept and detail with full understanding. And it just floored me. It woke me up out of the meditation after I must have been gone for about 30 minutes or so. And there I sat with all of that in my head. And I could feel it around me. It was numbers, it was equations, it was concepts, it was love, it was all those feelings that comprise this universe in one. And I didn't really know what to do. So I just sat there for a while, and I kind of tried to absorb this. And I realized what I saw, because some of it I saw in front of me. So what I saw and experienced, I had to write it down, because I didn't think all of that was going to stay with me. So I grabbed a pen and a pad, and I started writing. And I wrote, and I wrote. I had to go do something during the day, but I came back and I wrote for about, I think it was well over 3 days. And all those notes is, no, not all of the notes, but much of the notes ended up in the book we're talking about tonight. And when I was done writing, several days later, I looked at that, I started reading it, and I said, no, I can't write about this. This is ridiculous. They're going to think I'm nuts. And I show it to another guy there, and he says, no, this makes sense, because he was a college graduate, and he had studied quantum physics in college, and he says, go to the library and get this particular book. He says, read that. You're going to see they're talking about the same thing. I never studied quantum physics before, so I went and got the book, and I read it, and there it was. Much of it was there. So now I figured, aha, I can write about it if I back it up by quantum physics. Of course, my theories stretch a little further than that, but a lot of it I'm backing up with quantum physics, so it can actually make sense without using the equations, because that, I have some mathematics in college, but not to that degree. I lose myself in the equations. But in the simple explanation of the concept, that can be understood by anybody. So when I had this experience, I figured there is more. So I started revisiting this source, and I got bits and pieces of it that came back. So now I am, once in a while, I get bits and pieces coming, and I can write on that. So there's a lot more that is coming. There's going to be a sequel to this book where a lot of the details that I didn't cover in the first one is going to be. And this is going to be an interesting project probably for the next couple of years. But that is one of the experiences that is hard to believe could happen. But I also found out later that this is not totally unique to me. There's many people throughout history that had this happen to them. There is, I read about a guy over in France that had this happen, and he sat on the road for several days. And there is a guy down in South America that had it. There are several, one guy in the Middle East, he was teaching at a university over in Lebanon, I think it was. He had an experience like that. So there is things that can happen like this.
Well, I'm really interested because, you know, when we talk about your experiences and we talk about the essence of us all being a part of this universal intelligence, light, love, yeah, form, what do you think happens? You know, there seems to be a great deal of suffering that's going on, Augie, in the world. And many people are reaching to prayer. You know, they are in meditation, but they're really not getting their answer. Why do you think that is? What do you think is happening with that?
Well, I think we can say that, first of all, everything we experience is funneled through our five senses, and it is restricted by those senses. So what we see and experience may not be the truth, because our beliefs and everything is kind of tainting it for us. So what we believe, that is tainting our thoughts and our mind. And since we've never been told and taught how to use the mind, we're kind of on our own here and experimenting. And that's probably why that prayers mostly go unanswered, because nobody told us how. Religion tells us some of what to say, but they don't tell us how to say it. And that's kind of an important thing, because there is a language. We speak English over here. I can understand 5 other languages, but that's not the language of the spiritual world. There is a totally different language. You know, you can imagine this guy, let's say his property taxes are due and he don't have the money, and he sits down and says, well, please God, would you give me $1,250? I need $1,250 to pay the property tax, and that's he goes out and have a sandwich. How far do you think that would go? Nowhere. Now, there is some guidelines on how to pray, because you got to use that particular language. It is not a language in the spiritual world of words. It is not words. It is emotions, feelings, intention, love, and vivid, colorful, emotional, and fun pictures. Something that excites your soul to the point where you say, yes, I love that. That's the language of the spiritual world. Because then that universal consciousness will look at what you are imagining in your mind, and it says, aha, those are really strong feelings. I'll get him some of that. Because your request in that prayer that has those concepts in it, that goes into that universal pool of resources. It goes into the universal consciousness, and it trying to look around to find things that it can resonate with. Once it finds something that it resonates with, which of course has to be the same thing that you visualized, then it brings that back to you. If you say asking for money only, how there is no emotion with money. There is no colorful images of joy with money as such. You gotta think of something that excites you, excite not just you but the people around you that can have benefits from what you ask for. Anytime you pray for anything less than 3 people, your odds is as good as going to Las Vegas. It's got to be for mankind. It's got to be for the masses, for others. If you are asking for only for things for yourself, then you turn into a beggar, and the universe is not necessarily on their side all the time, it seems like. Now, there is somebody that can tell you how to pray, and that was Moses. In his 9th book, he talks about how to pray and get results every time.
Yes.
And there are 6 stages to it. Should I read them to you?
Yes, please.
All right. Moses, in that book, he said, when you pray, you go in your chamber. That means going within, in meditation or quiet contemplation or prayer. Then he says, know what you want. That, in other words, don't waffle. If you want something specific, you know what you want. Because if you waffle, same thing as if you tell a contractor that, oh, well, I want this swimming pool over here, but now, wait a minute, I think I want it over there, and I want it. What do you think is going to happen? That thing's going to go on the shelf until you figure out what you want. And then he says, see it in your heart. With other words, visualize it. Because back then, the word for heart was the same as the word for mind. The heart and the mind was the same thing back then. And then he said, speak it aloud with emotions so the tears flow.
Oh, wow.
Because emotion is the carrier of thought. That's the carrier wave. And then he said, know it is yours. In other words, have conviction. It has already happened. Now allow for time to catch up with it. And then he said, leave it to God. Let go and do not be attached to it, because you know it is yours. It will show up in your life. You see, Moses wasn't all that dumb. He actually wrote 12 books. I have book 1 through 10. And number 11 and 12 cannot be found anywhere. I have tried. But they are supposedly at the Vatican Archive Library, and they will not let anybody see it.
Amazing.
I wonder why. It's kind of interesting why they're keeping all that.
Do you want to reflect on that at all?
On the Vatican?
Feel free to think about anything that you want to.
Oh, I have studied the Vatican more than I should. What's the saying again? If you can't say anything good about anybody, don't say anything. Was that it?
Yeah. Exactly. I think that's an Irish saying.
Yeah.
Celtic.
You may have mentioned that once. But
go ahead.
Yeah. No, what I'm coming down to is that it's so important to control your thoughts and control your mind, because if you don't control your mind, somebody else will, and not for your purpose, but for their purpose. Really take that to heart, because they're waiting for somebody else to tell them what to do and why they should do it. And that's why I have never... I'm on first name with three billionaires, and none of them are rational people. They think on their own, they act on their own, they think different, they act different than normal people do. And that's why they are who they are. So we should start doing the same thing. In fact, that's the second book that I wrote. The title on that one is, Universal Success Principles and How Billionaires Think. There is success principles can work in a physical reality as well as in a mental or spiritual reality. Spiritual success principle works in all of those realities. Physical success principle will only pretty much work in the physical reality. It does not extend up into any of the others. So why don't we stay with the spiritual success principle that covers all the three areas of our life? Make sense?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that seems to be what's happening right now. Is maybe you can talk a little bit about ascension. That's
ascension.
That word is being spoken a great deal in the consciousness that's in humanity right now. So what do you think is going on right now here in history with ascension?
Well, ascension is something that is very, very little understood. Hardly anybody understands it. Even if you read about it, you can kind of get maybe a concept of it, but it's very rarely understood. Because let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to the fact that we are nothing physically. We are all mind. We are the spark of life that comes off of the soul or the universal mind without separation. So all we have in our physical reality is thought. Thought expressed by the universal mind. And if that's the case, what we feel, what we see, and what we experience here is all thoughts. So if we have reached something called, illumination, or then we can take that mind. When I say we, now I mean the spiritual us, can take that mind and change our mind and alter the hologram. Because if it figures out that, this holographic projection here is not doing me any good anymore, so I'm going to take it to a higher vibration and continue the journey there, then it, this spark of life, the soul, takes that projection of the body, accelerates the vibration of it out of the physical so it no longer exists there, and it goes to a higher vibration, where it will exist and then continue its learning process over there. That is when you achieve city consciousness. That's SIDDHI consciousness, if you want to Google that one. You
okay.
will find that is when you need no body. It is your consciousness is one with the universal consciousness. You come and go in physical reality as you please and is needed for the purpose of teaching or other things. So that's what some of these masters, there are several accounts of people that have ascended right in front of other people. So, you know, in the Western world, we don't talk about this stuff because God knows, you know, it says in the Bible that can't happen except for one guy that did it. Now there are others that has done that. But it's never spoken of in the Western world. In the East, yeah, they speak of it because they know it happened. It's just like this guy I read about over there in, there was some Chinese documents. He is 253 years old.
Wow.
Well, and there's government documents proving that he is that old. And his record of him being and doing certain things during that those two centuries. That can't happen either in the Western world. Of course, the way we eat, we know it can't happen. But over there, this concept of immortality, it is not that far-fetched. Because if you look at immortality, I'm going to jump onto this one because this one is really good. I think you need to think about it. Could it possibly be? Well, yeah, spiritually we know there is an immortal soul. But physically, maybe. Of course, now, you got to remember, maybe immortal, that means never die. That means millions of years. Well, is that possible? Well, maybe. The Sumerian tablets speak of some people being around for several hundred thousand years. There's records of them being around. One of them was Enki and his wife Ninma. They are the rulers of that settlement of the Anunnaki in the Middle East, Eastern Africa. It explains also how they created mankind with very descriptive methods identical to our gene splicing that we're using today. They speak of the two twisted ropes of life, which obviously is the chromosome, and I speak very highly of this in the book, and I explained very well how this was all done. Now this Enki, there's a record of him being around on Earth for almost 400,000 years. And 12,000 years ago is the record showing that he left. That's when the flood, Noah's flood, came. Now, that's quite a long life. So we ask, could this be possible? Yeah, there is written records of it in the Sumerian tablets. Some of them are in London, at the museum, in London Museum. And there are records of some very old people. So that cannot be taken away. But the mind can create just about anything that we believe strong enough. So there's a story also of a guy that a university professor that came over from China in the mid-1950s, and a U.S. university professor went to China on an exchange program. The Chinese university professor, he went out with people in New York one night, and he had dinner. He got food poisoning and died. Now, of course, you know, when that happens, you take him to the coroner's office and they call the ambassador and say, hey, you got one of your people here. And they ask the ambassador, there's something wrong, though, because his passport says that he's 154 years old. And the ambassador said, no, that's correct. And they asked the ambassador, how can that be? And the ambassador told them, first of all, he never believed he could die. For the second, he ate only herbs, Chinese herbs and berries for his food. That's all he ate. So now, then we are back to the same thing again. Is it possible for a physical body to live forever? That's one of the things I talk about. in the book to explain how and what he ate. One of them was astragalus. It's a Chinese herb, and there are several other ones that is talked of in there. And in fact, let's see. First of all, there's something called lingqiu, goji berries, wild ginseng, he shu wu, and gotu kola. And he was also a martial art instructor and several other things. So when we start conducting ourselves that way, with mind discipline, eating healthy, and don't eat the stuff that we buy at the grocery store most of the time, our life will change.
Well, that's just phenomenal. I just love the history that we have come through, and that have, you know, that's being brought into the consciousness of humanity today.
Yeah.
One of the things I want to address with you before we go any further, you're listening to Augie Nost. Right there on our blog post here on Blog Talk Radio, where the announcement is, there's a listing there of his website. You can also go to our website. We offer a blog about our guest that gives you, you know, an in-depth history as to what's behind all of this experience that Augie is expressing today, and who he is, and where what he's about, and what he's had to experience in his life to gain the knowledge that he has, and other experiences, you know, multidimensionally. So I want to just let everybody know that's listening, please take a look at our website. It's alltruenatural.com. And again, right there under Creative Consciousness Guest, you can read all about Augie. Just go to today's date, which is April 21st of 2015. Augie, I'm amazed at some of the work that you've done. And one of the things that you've talked about, you know, when we've shared individually together, is how do you read 50,000 words in, you know, in how long of a time? Can you please share a little bit about this? This is so exciting to hear.
Yeah, that's kind of,
that's
in
just
fact,
phenomenal.
Yeah, you can probably read more about that if you go to my website. It's www.spiritual-sciences.net. Spiritual-sciences.net. And that 20 years ago, I used to travel around the country for about a year. I was teaching a mind development course that teaches us how to use our mind. And I got some good pointers on that one. And I've been using it ever since. And what that course teaches you how to do, first of all, it helps you structure the mind so you can access areas of the mind that you normally kind of allow to be dormant. But also, it teaches you how to assimilate information out of a book at the rate of about 50 to 75 or more thousand words per minute. You probably noticed I didn't say read. We don't read because it's too fast for reading. It is as fast as you can turn the pages. It takes about 3 minutes or so, 3 to 5 minutes, depends on the size of the book, to go through the whole book. And then you have some triggers that you teach your mind how to do. And, of course, you also lower the mind, the brain frequency into the alpha range. And there is a method to this, and everybody can do this. I said everybody. You have to understand the language. If you don't know English and it's taught in English, then you're going to have a hard time. But if you know the language, you can do this. And we saw C and D and E students that came through the course, and they jumped immediately 3 grades to A and B students after they went through the course in college or in the high school. And this is something that it was presented to the school system in Phoenix in 1987, something like that. And they loved it. And then they got back to him afterwards and said, yeah, don't call us, we'll call you. They wanted nothing to do with it because it will interfere with the jobs program. If you got kids that is smart enough to absorb 90% to 100% out of a book at that rate of speed, you're going to have PhDs by the time they're 12. So it is not very workable. But and their point of view. They then would have to continue their education till they was probably about 20 years when they can enter the work life. But think of the knowledge they would have about that time. They would be smarter than the teachers. What would we need teachers for, you know? So, but this is something that, it's called Zox, ZOXPro.com. And it's a mind development course that can be found on the internet, Zox Pro. I would say if you are in college or if you are at school or want to learn how to read fast, yeah, try it. It will change your life.
Wow, that's just phenomenal.
That's my experience. Yeah, that's my experience. And I recommend it very highly. I spent 1 year teaching it, and when I was doing that year, I didn't count, but I'm sure I read over 1,000 books. My favorite thing.
Yeah,
I got
for those of you that are listening, please go to Augie Knoss' website.
Visit spiritual-sciences.net.
He has a book there that he does offer to individuals that are, seeking this knowledge, and it's called Spiritual Science, Higher Conscious Thinking. There's also Secrets You Are Not Supposed to Know About, which is coming out soon. And then, I mean, it's just, you're just one expression of love after another, Augie. and we're so thrilled that you've decided to share this with us today.
Yeah.
Further, we have just about 5 minutes left of the show, 5 to 6 minutes. Perhaps you can talk a little bit to, the people that are listening right now and, kind of maybe, share your perspective about your message to humanity right now, to them, individually, collectively. Really, what would you like to say to them that's the most important that's coming through you right now?
Well, message to humanity is love. Whichever form that you are capable of doing, love and forgiveness. Forgiveness, that is something that is not very well understood. You can say, oh yeah, I forgive you, but you don't really mean it. That's not forgiveness. And when you're with somebody and you walk away and you say, hey, I love you, man. Well, yeah, but do you really mean it? You know, it is the feeling, it's not the words. It's the feeling of compassion for other people. And the way that governments around the world are now strongholding their society, they are lying through their teeth every time they open their lips. I tell you, send them love. It will screw them up so bad that they can never, ever do what they've done before if they get enough of it. They will start having a hard time stealing from you as much as they do.
Absolutely.
But I tell you, take charge of your own mind. Take charge of your own mind. Start meditating and start planning ahead. Set goals for yourself during the day, during the week, for what you're going to do next month, what you plan on long term. So you get our short term, medium range, and long term goals. And if you miss them, and you probably will, then just reset them. It is not a failure to miss a goal. Just reset them. And just push them down the road if you miss them. And then find people surround you with that is smarter than you and sharper than you are so you can learn from them. And a lot of times, I learn from the sharpest minds in the world, not necessarily that I rub shoulders with them. I read their books and watch their videos. That's how I associate with them. When you start associating with the world in that fashion, you are going to start changing your life. You change your thinking, you change your action, you change what you have and what you're going to get. So don't settle for what everybody else thinks that you should do. When I was 25, I sold the property over there, the farm, the forestry, and the sawmill and everything. I sold it and it went. And I followed my dream, went to the United States, became a pilot, flew for 23 years, and I've done so many things because two things for it. I followed my dream and I was glad I had never been lazy.
Yeah, because when you do, decide to follow your dream, boy, are you put into service. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, nothing can stop you. I'm going to ask you a question. This is a really important question. I don't want you to answer me to it. Answer it to yourself, and don't answer it right away. Spend at least 24 hours thinking about it. And this is the question that I used to start a seminar out with. And here it goes. Listen. What would you start tomorrow morning if you knew you could not fail? Don't answer it now. Wait 24 hours at least, because none of you, I guarantee you, none of you are able to think big enough.
Well, with that, Augie, we're just coming to a close.
Okay.
We want to thank you so much for being with us today, and we want to thank each and every one of you on planet Earth that have tuned in and heard the message of this show today and the message that Augie Noss brought to you. We are so grateful to support Augie and any spiritual or any individual that is living a spiritually purposed life. We're here to assist you, and get in touch with us. Leave a message on our blog page right there on Blog Talk Radio. Connect with us through the Internet. You can look up Augie Noss on Facebook. You can connect with us as well on Facebook. Our website is All True Natural. And, Augie, we're going to have to do this again. You're just a wellspring of information.
Well, I covered about 4% of it, so we got some more to talk about.
Thank you all. Many blessings. Have a blessed evening. And just think about that question.
Yes.
What do you want to do with the rest of your life if it was 100% guaranteed that it's successful? And begin today. Thank you so much, Augie. We love you. We bless you. We're honored with you. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for having me on.
God bless.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you for being with us on Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We are live Tuesday and Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On some Sunday mornings, so we have a Sunday morning light show that runs from 10 to 11 a.m. on Eastern Standard Time. To be acquainted with us, feel free to connect with us on our website at alltruenatural.com. You can also bookmark our show so that you can get email reminders when we go live on either Tuesday, Thursdays, or Sundays. We are currently building and bridging the gap within all communities on planet Earth. And the way in which we are doing that is that we are creating Bridging the Gap Festivals. And we're going to be having our first Bridging the Gap Festival, a spiritual festival, in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and that is going to be August 1st of 2015, and we will be at Las Cruces Convention Center. So we welcome and we invite you to join with us in harmonizing in the one heart, the one love, the one spirit that resides within each and every one of us. Together we can. Have a great night, everybody. God bless, and see you next time.